I would like to announce again, we announced it Wednesday, our precious sister went home to be with the Lord, Shirley Sigler, and her husband's right down here. And I appreciate Leon being here today. The viewing for Miss Shirley is Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Help me if I'm wrong, Leon, but 10 o'clock at the Best Funeral Home. And it's on Peoria, right there by the 101 on the right. And then right after the viewing, we're going to go over to Rest Haven right after that, and we'll have the graveside service. But you be praying for the family. I can't say enough good things about precious Shirley Sigler. She was a great woman of God and my friend. And so you pray for that funeral service. You'd like to come, you're welcome. All right, are you in John chapter 3? Let's finish it up, the chapter, with the Lord's help. And I want to look at starting in verse 25. The Bible says, "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." Verse 27, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ." Let's talk about John the Baptist speaking. "I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." I love this verse. Let's read this one out loud together, verse 30. Ready? "He must increase, but I must decrease." That was John the Baptist. "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." He repeats it. "And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand." I love this. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So you need to believe on the Lord, don't you? Right. You just don't walk into church and poof, you're going to heaven. Yeah. You got to believe on the Lord. Right. What did that jailer say? "What must I do to be saved?" And he told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Okay, I want you to pray with me. You row with me. I told my wife, I remind her every Sunday, I say, pray for me. Because the old devil, he's pulling. But we need Christian folks who are saved to pull with us that way up to heaven. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come to thee, Lord, and we're so thankful. We adore thee and extol thee and bless thy holy name today. Thou art holy, a thrice holy God, Lord, and righteous and lovely altogether, precious. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, and we ask, Lord, that you'd forgive me and everyone in here that's got some sin in their life, Lord, that they haven't made right. They don't want to change. Lord, just forgive. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. And I'm thankful today for the opportunity to preach the gospel. Now, Lord, I can't do it without your help. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that there is a way to heaven. Lord, I'm reminded of that verse. Heavenly Father, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Lord, I pray that nobody will leave this building without trusting you, Lord, and especially before it's everlasting too late. So, Father, I pray you'd use me. I submit myself. I pray the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart might be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. That I might please you, and I want to give thanks and give you all the glory for what you're about to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Well, we've had a time going through this most beloved chapter. I tell you, I love the Bible. I hope you love the Bible. I hope you're in it every day in your daily walk. I love John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son. That's the greatest gift of God, the gift of God. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him, what? Should not perish. God doesn't want anybody to perish and go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish. Peter tells us that. And I'm not willing. And if you're saved, you're not willing that anybody should go to hell. You don't want people to go to hell. It's a blessing to know when loved ones do pass away. It's not goodbye, it's see you later. Absent from the bodies, present with the Lord. That song we sang, I'll be waving goodbye, you know. But when you know Christ as your Savior, you have that assurance and peace that you're with the Lord. And we'll see him again one day when that time comes. So I'm thankful for the great salvation the Lord gives, and he wants to give it to you if you'll just accept. And you do need a personal relationship with the Lord. It's not in religion. Yep. It's in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. He did all that was needed. When Jesus laid his life down, and no one took Jesus' life. Jesus died for you on the cross. And he was nailed to that cross, but the nails didn't hold him there. His love for us. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the most wonderful story. I love singing Christmas songs. We can sing them all year long. It doesn't bother me. But he came to this earth, was born of a virgin. He was born to die. And no one else could take our sins away except Jesus. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He left heaven and came down here. And he went to that cross. It was a horrible death. It's hard to even read in the scriptures. But if you read in the Bible, you'll find out what he went through. It says over in Corinthians, the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He died for our sins and was buried according to the scriptures. And he rose again according to the scriptures. And that's good news. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is hope. God is true. I say God is true. Amen. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Don't you believe what religion says or psychology says or television says or documentaries say and all this. A lot of times they're written by people who don't know Jesus Christ. Friends, no one will look at Jesus Christ and point their finger at Jesus and say, I didn't have an opportunity to know. No one will do that. The Bible clearly says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day you'll stand before God and the books will be open. What are you going to do with Jesus? That's the question. Jesus, he's true. Said there in our text, God is true. Can I tell you, Jesus is God. I'll say that again. Jesus is God and he's true. What about John 14:6? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. No other way. There's not 50 other ways or 100 different ways. Only one way to heaven. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ getting saved. Amen. You need a Savior. And he wants to be that Savior. Now, they were arguing religion and such. And Nicodemus got saved over there in chapter 3, verse 1. A Pharisee, a ruler of the Pharisees. And he knew that no one could do these miracles but Jesus. He saw, I believe in my heart, that he saw that first miracle of Jesus where Jesus turned the water into wine. Now, before, those water pots, what... They were big water pots, almost 50 gallon. And they poured the water in there. Of course, the mother of Jesus said, we're out of wine. I'm not talking about alcoholic beverage. I'm talking about pure squeezed grape juice. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. I mean, it's going to be all right. Amen? And he turned the water into wine. What did they use those pots for before that miracle? For purifying. And they would wash one another's feet, and they would wash their hands, and it was dusty and dry. And so they were arguing about this. Probably they had seen 30 messiahs come and go, but they hadn't seen one like Jesus. Amen. There's only one true Messiah. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he came. By the way, he'll come again to get his own. They're arguing over purification, too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Verse 25, then there arose a question. Don't ever question Jesus. Amen. As far as the way to heaven is salvation, you can ask him questions when you pray, but don't ever question him in a negative sense. He is your creator. He's the one that gives you breath. The Bible says in John chapter 1, everything that was created by him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Nothing was made that was made was without Jesus Christ, the Creator. He says over in Romans 1, people worship the creature more than the Creator. There's only one Creator, God Almighty, and God is true. God is true. He says, verse 25, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. There's no question when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the answer. He's still the answer for whatever you need, whatever you're looking for. You don't have peace in your heart. Jesus is the answer. You need something in your life, for your home, for your family, for your Jesus is the answer. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus is still the answer for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all the days in between. Amen. For your children, for your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. I mean, Jesus is still the answer. Not religion. No question. Verse 26, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Stirring up some strife, right? The bottom line is, where the rubber meets the road, you can only have your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Not some water out of a purifying vessel. Baptism can never save you. Without salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, you go down a wet sinner. I mean, you go down a dry sinner and come up a wet sinner. The water can't save you. It shows that you have been saved already. It's a symbol, yes. Verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Everything's under the Lord's feet. Think about that. And I pray, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who created heaven and earth. Heaven's up north. Amen. Hell's down there. Hell's down there. Hell and heaven are the opposite. There's no pain in heaven. I'm glad for that. No more migraines. No more jail caps. No more broken legs and all of that. No pain in heaven. You go to hell, you're going to take all that pain with you. But there won't be any pills and things to quench your pain. It's too late. Pain in your heart. There'll be no pain in your heart in heaven. He makes all things new, right? I'm thankful for heaven. Everything is under His feet. Verse 28, ye yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, John the Baptist speaking, but I am sent before Him. He was the forerunner, John the Baptist. Hold your thumb there and go back to chapter 1, John chapter 1. Please look with me. Talking about John the Baptist here. He it is, verse 27. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. It says, He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet. I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethbarba beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was pointing to Jesus. This is He of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And he goes on down and he talks about, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming, saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It's only Jesus. He bare record about this. Verse 34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Do you believe Jesus is the true Son of God? God is true. Verse 35, again the next day after John stood the two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God! Exclamation mark. He knew it. Those who saw him knew it. Jesus would go to that old rugged cross, and then some more people knew it. You say, can I understand that? Can even a child understand that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world? Yes, they can understand. They can understand it. He is that one. 27, back in chapter 3, verse 27, John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. I want to see 12 and 13 in John chapter 3. I have told you earthly things and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Stick with Jesus. Verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. Verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. You see, God, Jesus, yes, he's the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, John the Baptist, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Man, won't it be wonderful one day we hear Jesus, come up hither. Yeah. The voice of Jesus. This is my This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must increase. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. You know, we have too much pride in this world. Amen. We don't need to be lifted up. We need to lift up the one who is the Son of God. God is true. He must increase. He that cometh from above, verse 31, he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. All you men out there, what did God make us men out of? The dirt, the dust. He made us out of dirt. All you men, you're made out of dirt. I'm one of them. Dirt. You're made out of dirt. Just go on the, just take your shirt off and let your wife see the ring around the corner. It's dirt in there. My wife says, you need to scrub your neck. I scrub it off. It's still got dirt in it. Because I'm dirt. That old left-handed judge, Ehud, the left-handed judge, he went in that parlor, the king of Eglon, he pulled his dagger out and stuck it in the man's belly so far that he couldn't get it back out. And the Bible says the dirt fled. You know why? Because men are made out of dirt. Now, women, you're made out of prime rib. Glory to God right there. But we're dirt. We're sinners. Verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. That's Jesus. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Verse 32, let's finish. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. The people are still rejecting the Lord today. Like Jesus was born in a manger, they put him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for him in the inn. People still say in their heart, there's no room, no room. Will you make room for Jesus? Have you any room for Jesus? He'll come in if you let him, if you receive him. In fact, he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to make you anew. Don't go through these holidays. Don't go through Thanksgiving and Christmas without the Savior. Don't go through the next year, 2026, are you believing that? Don't go through another year without Jesus. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't harden your heart as in the day of provocation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted sign. Hey, there's no better time to receive Jesus. You'll never regret it. You'll never be sorry. Hey, Jesus Christ, he's wanting to come in to your heart. Verse 33. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. How many of you know? Raise your hand. You know God is true. God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. Oh, John the Baptist told it like it was. He said, repent and get saved. He said, here he comes. I'm not the one. I don't even deserve to unloosen the Lord's shoe latchets. I don't need to be baptizing Jesus. John the Baptist did not want to baptize Jesus. He said, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. And, of course, John the Baptist did baptize Jesus, not because he had to, for an example for us. Amen. John the Baptist pointed people to the Lord, to the Savior. He says here, verse 35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Now look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. It's clear, isn't it? He's the only way to heaven. But the wrath of God abideth on him. It doesn't say in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son and quit smoking hath everlasting life. Now, I don't believe you should smoke because it'll get you to heaven quicker than you want to go. My dad was from Kentucky. We raised tobacco. And I've told you that. See, quit smoking won't send you to hell. It'll just make you smell like you've been there. But that doesn't determine heaven for you, smoking or drinking or being baptized or religion. Well, I watched Dr. So-and-so on the television. I must be all right. I'm going to be okay, Pastor, because I watched so-and-so on the television. That won't get you to heaven. Some preacherette driving some Corvette, smoking a cigarette, preaching some sermonette. Amen? That won't get you to heaven. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to say yes to him. I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me. Please cleanse me from my sin and come into my heart. I'm confessing that you're the only way, that you died for my sin and you arose and you're the only true God. Because of you and you only, I'll go to heaven. That's what that centurion said over in Matthew 27. Then we're finished. Go to Matthew 27. Something great happened in Matthew 27. It happens all through the Bible. But in Matthew chapter 27, I just want to read it to you. In Matthew chapter 27, it ought to thrill you. So all that thrills my soul is Jesus. I'm being patient. I want to read this, and then we're going to have the invitation right after this. Matthew chapter 27, verse 23. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? Talking about Jesus. But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult, that's like an angry crowd, a mob, was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye do it. See ye to it. Then answered all. I want you to look at this. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. You know what scourging is? That's when they take a cat of nine tails and they rip your back and body up. They strip you, tie you to a post, and they just beat you. On the end of those little leather strips were bone and glass and metal. Like they put you through a buzzsaw. A lot of people died at the whipping post, at the scourging. And they scourged Jesus. Why? He didn't do anything wrong. What was he guilty of? Jesus was guilty in the fifth degree of loving you and me. The only thing he was guilty of was loving us. The innocent, the just, the righteous. They whipped him. Didn't have much blood left in him. They scourged him and delivered him to be crucified, one of the most horrible, painful. It was meant to be so excruciating. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. Watch it. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. No doubt he was so bloody and that robe soaked up the blood. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee. They were mocking folks. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him. They spit on our Savior. That hurts me. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. He had lost so much blood. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Can you see Jesus? Can you just see him? And set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou hast that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." I'm glad today he didn't come down. I'm glad he finished what he started. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." Don't you just see the mercy and grace? He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world, but he died for you and for me. Verse 44, the thieves also, watch this, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. See, God the Father, he saw what his Son was doing. He had to turn his back, didn't he? Because God can't look on sin. He's so holy and pure. Remember when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because the Father turned his back. But don't you know the Father knows what was going on, right? And he was waiting. I said the Father was waiting. And Jesus is suffering and bleeding and dying for sinners like you and me. And the Father's waiting. Verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land of unto the ninth hour. God pulled the curtain. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And we see the words in John chapter 19 that Jesus articulated, "It is finished." The price of our sin was paid. He bore in his body our sin on the tree, and it was paid in full. The rest, verse 49, said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Note, he yielded up the ghost. No one took his life. He laid it down. And behold, the veil, if you knew anything about that veil in the temple, it was so thick, a hand's breadth, and impossible for man to rent. Yeah, the Father, he's doing some miracles right here. His Son, Jesus, is dying for the world, and he rent that huge veil of the temple in twain, verse 51, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake. And the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, watch, and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. He knew that no man ever lived, died like this man. Just like it said over there in John chapter 3, has set to his seal that God is true. The Father said, well, my son did it. I turned my back, but it's over now. Earthquake, darkness over the whole, rocks rent, people coming out of the grave. That's my son right there. My beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And friends, that same Jesus loves you and died for you. It's the truth. What you read this morning is the truth. It's true. Say, I don't believe that, Pastor. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it's still true. Amen. It's the truth. He is the only true and wise God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. He can't even see it. But if you'll receive Jesus, John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.